266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the story of...
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The pandemic-era border restriction known as Title 42 has come to an end and a new asylum program is in place. Here's CBS's Christiane Benavides.
An estimated 60,000 migrants are waiting near the border to start their asylum process. Currently, some 25,000 are in Border Patrol custody. The Biden administration is facing a flurry of criticism from Republicans.
When he started doing the catch and release, that's what invited people come in.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
We knew the transition from the public health authority of Title 42 as we transitioned to our traditional immigration authorities was going to be tough.
Christian Benavides, CBS News.
Ukraine's President Zelensky is in Germany. The president said in Germany today that he was ready to discuss outside proposals for peace to end the war with Russia.
He's had the full military honors at the chancellery. He also met the German president early this morning, Frank-Walter Steinmeier. And while he was there, Mr. Zelensky thanked the German people, describing Germany as a true friend and a reliable ally.
That's the BBC's Jenny Hill. Lots of rain in the forecast today. Here's National Weather Service meteorologist Andrew Orison.
It's going to be bringing in quite a bit of moisture from the Gulf of Mexico. And so with that, we are going to see heavy rainfall concerns and the potential for flash flooding down across the areas of southeast Texas, and that will include the Houston metropolitan area.
One person was killed, several others injured this weekend after a tornado ripped through the southern part of Texas. A ceasefire between Israel and the Islamic Jihad is now in effect. That's Islamic Jihad spokesman Tariq Silmi saying, "We affirm the terms of the agreement." But even as the truce was being finalized, both sides kept up firing, with air raid sirens sounding as far as Tel Aviv's suburbs. Brittany Griner is back on the hardwood.
Brittany Griner was back to playing WNBA basketball Friday night in Phoenix. Griner returned to game action for the first time since a nearly 10-month detainment in Russia on drug-related charges ended with a prisoner swap in December. She finished with 10 points and 3 rebounds in a WNBA preseason game against the LA Sparks. Griner said she was more rusty on the court than expected. Matt Piper, CBS News.
An investigation into potential illegal gambling in Iowa has identified more than 40 college athletes in the state. The penalty for sporting events in Iowa for those under 21 is a fine of $645. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
2020, that's the vision at Holtebeck Eye Center. At Holtebeck Eye Center, they provide the most professional and compassionate care in the industry, from your first call to follow-up after treatment. If you've been dreaming of seeing clearly again, Dr. Holtebeck can restore your vision with expert care and attention to issues like cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetes complications. You'll not only see better, but feel better too. Don't wait any longer. Improve your eyesight. Visit Holtebeck.com. That's Holtebeck.com.
Feeling down, anxious, depressed? You are not alone. According to the World Health Organization, approximately 280 million people have depression, but the majority never receive treatment. At WellPoint Care Network, they can help. Their outpatient clinic staff are both qualified and caring, not to mention highly trained in partnering with you on your healing journey. Make an appointment today at wellpointcare.org. They serve all ages, infants, children, and adults. Both in-person and virtual services are available. Learn more at wellpointcare.org.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Speed. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Tuesday night live, 8 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Central time. Johnny out there on the left coast, it's 5 o'clock, right?
That's right, sir.
Pacific it's happy time. Hour out there, man.
That's happy hour everywhere when we're on the air, man.
That's right. That is it. Hey, and if you want to join us, the number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Well, Johnny, prognostications, you know, we had Jess Piper, the dirt road Democrat, on 2 weeks ago because the governor last week superseded our show. So I don't know. I tried to put a protest in with the governor's office saying, how could you bump Busted Pencils for the, you know, but hey, sometimes you got to let the governor take that. But we were, you know, we talked to Jess. It was a good conversation. The prognostication on your call about teachers entering the political sphere, that was great. I wanted to, though, remind people of my prognostication about 2023 being the year of the teacher apprenticeship. And I've been thinking about this and going, you know, how is it that this could become some type of a movement? And I'm searching the web, Johnny, and I just wanted to bring your attention to a website that I happen to come across just going through. It's ncgyo.org. It okay. is the National Center for Grow Your Own. On their about page, Grow Your Own is a partnership between school districts and educator preparation providers to select candidates. Hey, that's paraprofessionals, graduating high school seniors, career changers from local communities to earn their degree and educator license in order to teach through the apprenticeship. It was like, they're there. The organization exists, Johnny. They're out there doing the great work promoting the apprenticeship. And then so I dig a little bit deeper and I'm like, OK, we got to figure out who these people are. And here we go. David Donaldson. Check this out. Founder and managing partner. David was the lead author on the approved application by the U.S. Department of Labor to federally recognize the K-12 teacher occupation as eligible for the registered apprenticeship. His Grow Your Own and Registered Apprenticeship in Teaching Work in Tennessee was recognized by the White House, the U.S. Department of Education, and the U.S. Department of Labor. I'm thinking, wait a minute, we talked to Prentice Chandler, the dean at Austin Peay State. He told us, in fact, about the work in Tennessee that happened. I'm wondering, you know what? Is it possible, you know, I'm thinking David Donaldson, if you're out there just happening to be listening to Busted Pencils, every educator who's educated in talks education would be listening. But if David Donaldson might be out there, if he might want to, you know, join the show, we're putting that call out there because I want to talk to this man about the registered teacher apprenticeship, my possible prognostication. And well, Johnny, wait, I just see it from Evan there.
I mean,
well, can you? I mean, I guess we should believe it. We said if you're an educator and you talk education, you're paying attention to Busted Pencils. David Donaldson, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you, my friend?
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I saw the Busted Pencils bat signal showing, and I'm responding to the call. So thanks for having me. Pleasure to meet you.
Oh, man. David, I tell you, if people listening, how was that for putting on a show right there, man?
Yeah, I think I need to hire you as a hype man for all the presentations I do. That would be much more helpful and a better show for the crowds.
Well, David, though, welcome to Busted Pencils. It's fully led at education talk, educated educators talking education. The number, if you do want to call in and join us with David, is 844-967-2789. David, really appreciate you taking the time to join Johnny and me on the show tonight. Grow your own. All of this work. So when we met and talked to Prentice Chandler, he made mention of this early work that happened in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And my sense is that this is where, when you were at the Department of Education in Tennessee at that time, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I appreciate you bringing up Prentice because I believe strongly in giving credit where credit is due. So Grow Your Own in Tennessee was started by Dr. Sean Impertris under the leadership of Director Millard House at the Clarksville Montgomery County Schools. And Dr. Impertris partnered with one of the most innovative, if not the most innovative, ed prep dean in the country, Dean Prentice Chandler and Dr. Lisa Barron of Austin Peay State University, to come up with this Grow Your Own model that would allow for folks that Clarksville Montgomery selected to be able to become a teacher for free and get paid to do so. Whether that was folks who were paraprofessionals, graduating high school seniors, career changers, you name it. Ultimately, fast forward a bit, based on the success they were having, we adapted what they did and spread it across the entire state. And I could go into that, but specifically, it was Sean and Prentice who came to me and said, you know, this sounds a lot like a registered apprenticeship. And it was probably at that point in time, I asked the most profound question I'll ever ask in my professional career, which was, what's a registered apprenticeship? But as we talk over the course of this time with together today, you'll find out I'm a bit of a nerd, but I'm also pretty persistent. So did lead the process that you shared. And eventually, after four tries, so third time wasn't the charm, and across two presidential administrations, got the occupation of a K-12 teacher approved. That's correct.
Well, okay, so let's kind of put a little bit more context too. We're talking about this, you know, either teacher diversity, teacher shortage. I know right now the big issue, you know, we're hearing about is teacher shortage. And Johnny and I talk a lot about this on the show. You know, how are we going to get a handle on this? Where are the next teachers coming from? And I put some of the promos out for the show tonight, you know, got teacher shortage, get teacher apprenticeship, things like that. Help the listener, though, who might not really be familiar with this. The idea first of saying, when you say an apprenticeship, first of all, where does the term apprenticeship come from?
Yes, great question. So I believe it's 86 years ago now, the National Apprenticeship Act was approved, creating registered apprenticeships. So I'm from Michigan originally. Don't hold it against me.
Johnny's a Detroit boy, yeah. Man.
There we go. I'm a former Detroit Public Schools principal, so I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that offline. That'd be great. But, you know, in 2008, my brother-in-law got laid off. And so the same, you know, with Ford, GM, and Chrysler, the big three all getting hurt, you know, all that money that is used traditionally to train people to become plumbers, electricians, work in the culinary arts, IT, can now, effective as of a year ago, can for the first time ever in 86 years, be used to now train people to become teachers. Registered apprenticeship, it's the best of both worlds when it comes to preparing teachers, in my humble opinion, which is you're getting your college coursework to lead to a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a post-bachelor's, you know, license, and getting that hands-on experience under the tutelage of a mentor teacher who is the teacher of record.
So that is, so when we hear that word apprentice, it is referring to what probably a lot of people are thinking about, the trades industry, plumbing, carpenter, the fact that there's been apprenticeships, as you're putting out there, this federally recognized little pathway to becoming one of these, you know, skilled vocations. It's now, though, 87 years later, is what you're saying, is we're going to apply this kind of working situationally to become a teacher, and therefore a teacher apprenticeship combined with teacher education and college education. I know, Johnny, we've been thinking about that and saying, you know, this is, though, one of the things that I think really makes the teaching apprenticeship unique is that higher education, you know, provider being part of this. Johnny, throw in some chops there, man.
Well, yeah, and Tim and David, thank you for doing all the work that you all are doing with the organization, and then all the groundwork that we keep talking about when we have this conversation about, you know, how do we get more people called to teaching into classrooms? And you know, the way historically has been, it's often provided a deterrent to having folks who might be great educators not able to be in our schools. And we've been there as school leaders. Like, we got people who are called to that service, who are really great at it, and who oftentimes can provide local essential role models. Talk oftentimes about bringing diverse people into education and, you know, folks, kids in our community look up to. And it's so important that there are alternate pathways to becoming a teacher. And those exist out there, but they always seem to exist in ways that were not practical or doable for 99% of the people who we are trying to get into our building as certified teachers. And so when we started to learn about these programs, and then we started to ask questions about, like, understanding the difficulty to just thinking outside the box and bringing all the voices together to have the conversations to make it possible, it started to be more than inspiring. So it's led to these kinds of conversations. So thank you for all that work, David. And like Tim has said, really, like lift the veil on that. This is all hands on deck. Like, these are like partners coming together in local ways to really solve this problem where we don't necessarily have a teacher shortage, but we have, you know, alternate pathways to getting people called to education into classrooms. There's a lot of great folks out there who find themselves called to teaching. And it's not only, you know, an honorable career. It's one that, you know, you can make more than a living wage on. You can do well by your community. You can be supported and support your family. And you can get there without having to jump through, you know, 10,000 hoops and going back to school. Maybe, you know, you're 35 years old and the only pathway to becoming a teacher is to enroll at university again. And although both Tim and I are at universities and we stand by the quality of teacher certification programs, we know the barriers. And so this is exciting. So the more we learn and we hear from you and the folks doing that, how can we springboard this, echo it, you know, and really, you know, communicate that it's not simple, but it's doable.
It is doable. And in fact, we're going to hold you, David Donaldson, since you took the time to give us a call. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, grow your own teacher apprenticeship. David Donaldson, our guest. More when we get back, particularly, what does grow your own mean? More Busted Pencils back at the break.
Carrie, is this schedule the most updated?
There's a wedding season rush at Dr. Iona's dental practice.
We're fully booked this week. We can try and squeeze you in next Tuesday.
She needs a dental hygienist to unveil fresh smiles.
How long has 3 been under the UV light?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
We're all familiar with the three whats. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
I can speak that fast. Tim Mickelrith, Rise Against, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We are here truly shaking things up. Our guest, Alfie Cohn, he has a new blog, Pay Attention Class. Here come more facts for you to forget. Alfie, we're talking about the long-term or lack of long-term effects on, quote, remembering by this approach to learning. But this does, though, this frame, particularly earlier in the fall, though, this massive concern, and I was wondering how we might look at this differently, this phrasing, learning loss. The pandemic caused 2.4 years of reading learning loss of fourth graders in America. I'm a parent. I'm alarmed. Give me some sense of why that might not be really what's happening.
Again, it depends on what we mean by learning.
Okay.
So it is probably true that if you're out of school for a while over the summer, which is where the term learning loss originated with research on that, or for a while during the pandemic, you know, you may forget the difference between a simile and a metaphor, you know, or the steps for long division or you know, whatever it is you're working on, a bunch of the chief exports of Peru. So there's learning loss in that sense. But is that the kind of learning that matters? Well, we've already established that kids are going to forget this stuff after school anyway.
Right.
But when students are actively involved in understanding ideas from the inside out, of making sense of concepts, rather than just learning to borrow from the tens place, they've been helped to really construct meaning around the idea of place value. They know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Or instead of just learning, you know, what you're supposed to put in the hypothesis section of your lab write-up, but instead you were the one who got a chance to design the experiment to test the hypothesis, you don't forget that. The other example I give...
Go ahead, please, another example.
The other example I gave in the piece is, you know, as opposed to learning what iambic pentameter is or whatever, or how many sentences should be in your each paragraph of your essay, instead of that garbage, if you're helped to think about the impact your writing is going to make on a reader, how the reader is going to view it, again, that learning doesn't get lost. So when people talk about learning loss, and they are, first of all, they're talking only about an impact on standardized test scores.
Okay, good.
And humorously, many of the press releases that were uncritically picked up by the mass media during the pandemic, warning of the grave examples of learning loss, came from NWEA, which is a standardized test producer. You know, it's unbelievable, and nobody even takes a moment to look at that. But when these people warn of this, they're not telling us, here is the grave problem whenever kids are out of school, so by God, get them some more remedial instruction of the same type that didn't work when they were in school last. What they're doing, whether they realize it or not, is indicting traditional education that's based on content in the sense of items of knowledge. They're telling us the problem isn't with school. The problem is with conventional schooling that is focused on memorizing stuff they can look up and teaching it in a traditional way.
But that's never framed that way. The way you just said that is it's exactly. Never an indictment. It's always instead it's used as an indictment of the, you know, those crappy teachers, those lousy health people who made us close down for COVID. It's never internally or not internally, but we never say, you know what? Maybe the approach to teaching and learning has never itself actually created quote, long-term deep learning. And maybe we shouldn't be surprised that after a pandemic with, you know, sporadic types of schooling that, remembering things that are assessed, as you just said, through large, quote, objective, whatever objective means, standardized tests, that if we were trying to get at and measure learning differently, we would then maybe say, hey, the whole enterprise itself is failing, as opposed to going learning loss, bad teachers, bad people, bad, 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 bad.
Exactly. It's an indictment of standardized tests as an outcome measure. It's an indictment of traditional forms of direct instruction through lectures, worksheets, quizzes, and the like. And most of all, it's an indictment of construing education or learning itself as merely retaining a bunch of knowledge.
So keep going.
Oh, sorry, go on.
Knowing that, though, and I think, you know, we're at this and, you know, only got two more minutes left. And again, the time always goes so fast when we're talking to you. How do I... You know, maybe even a parent who goes, I'm suspecting that. How might I challenge a school district and or move? Let's just say a movement that's saying, hey, your kids lost learning, to go, hey, schools, maybe we ought to think about what it is we mean by learning. I mean, how do we make this message come across? Because once again, and I don't know if you saw the latest report by James Harvey that came out in the Washington Post, where he's like, look, 40 years ago, first of all, the facts on a nation at risk, disaster. And we've created this disastrous teaching and learning conditions all along the idea of going, we think a lot of kids have forgotten everything. If that's not our goal, then how do we get people to change the goal?
Well, I mean, to some extent, you answer your own question.
Right.
But because I mean, the way you respond to it is by reframing it. And I mean, the simplest way is simply to say, what do you mean by learning?
Right.
And there's... It's going to be an interesting conversation that takes place. What kind of learning loss? And pretty soon people will, you don't have to memorize my answer, you know, appropriately enough. As soon as you ask that question, you will find yourself sort of reconstructing this and saying, well, it's a bunch of facts that tend to be forgotten. And you're right. But that doesn't mean, oh my God, we got to do remedial work to cram even more facts down kids, you know, or force them to swelter in summer school.
Right. It means we rethink
the kind of learning that we expect and hope they will manage, and the way we do it, to use more progressive approaches that are more effective even at remembering, let alone thinking.
Oh, we always love the way Alfie Cohn does it. Alfie, thank you so much for your time tonight. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. When we get back, Johnny and I will break down this discussion. Alfie Cohn, thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll break down this discussion. Alfie Cohn, thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll break down this discussion. Alfie Cohn, thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll break down this discussion. Alfie Cohn, thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll break down this discussion.
On air, online, on your smart speaker, and on the Civic Media app. Give us time. Soon we'll be broadcasting directly to your brain.
This is the Shaw.
CBS News Brief. The end of Title 42 border restrictions and new rules on seeking asylum has migrants pursuing a legal process to get into the U.S. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock says his city is trying to prepare.
We're in desperate need of emergency shelter space to accommodate what will be coming our way.
Ukraine's President Zelensky is in Germany.
До дискусій, до будь-яких пропозицій.
He says he's ready to discuss outside proposals for peace to end Russia's full-scale invasion of his country. But he also says those proposals must be based on Kyiv's own position and peace plan. Millions of Americans face extreme weather this weekend, like in the Pacific Northwest, for example.
We are dealing with record warmth, 80s, 90s, and a heat advisory persists there through your Mother's Day as this extreme heat will continue to plague the Pacific Northwest.
That's WCBS-TV meteorologist Vanessa Murdoch. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
If you love to spend time in the kitchen, elevate your cooking game with a pantry full of premium hemp products from Mary Jane's Hemp Shop in Waukesha. Mary Jane sells flights of Himalayan sea salt.
Hi, this is Lindsay Kynard at 5:40 a.m. and 101.1 FM WAUK, The Shaw. Here are upcoming events happening in the area.
Enjoy free live music this Wednesday the 10th at the Art of Joy in Cedarburg from 6 until 8 p.m. Join them in their lounge. Kids are welcome. Check out the Arista Wine Dinner Thursday the 11th at Harbor House, presented by Bartolotta Restaurants. Call 414-395-4900 for more details. Check out a free Friday movie matinee presented by the St. Francis Public Library at 2 p.m. Popcorn is provided. It's at 4230 South Nicholson Avenue. On Saturday the 13th, Gathering Place Brewing in Tulsa has their tap room and patio grand opening at noon. Check them out, 7208 West North Avenue. And finally, Mother's Day brunch at the Pfister Hotel this Sunday starting at 9 a.m. 414-273-8222 for tickets.
If you have an event you'd like us to share, let me know. Email me, Lindsay Kynard, at info@civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weichert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She mastered.
Let it. Education Talk. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Alfie Cohn, great guest, first half hour, learning loss. Oh my goodness, let's not get that upset about it. It's really about the fact of remembering. If you have something you've forgotten when you were in school, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Johnny, I like what Alfie talks about this, and I wonder, you know, if we could tease this apart, is that, so if you're listening and somebody says, oh my God, learning loss, that you should hear that not as,
holy crap, my kid lost this incredible amount of learning. It's that if we are, quote, measuring learning loss, and in fact, measuring how much kids remembered, the reality is that the schooling, the education your child was receiving wasn't that good. So learning loss isn't a measure that says necessarily that all of the horrible things that are about to happen, economic deprivation, your kid's never going to amount to anything. Learning loss really is an indictment of a system that says remembering stray random facts is the main goal. And you know what? It looks like right here we've measured that kids have forgotten things. If they've forgotten it, was it even important to remember in the first place, Johnny Lupinacci?
Oh, man, Tim, you know, it's always good to be learning from Alfie and, you know, how many years and years of having his voice, you know, shine light on the complex issues of not only what's going on in our schools, but really the importance of all of us taking a step back and really asking those questions about what is it we want our children learning? Who are the citizens that we want them to become in our communities, and what are the skills they need to get there? And so, you know, I think it reminds us to do inventory. We're living in a changed world, right? What are the things that we really care about as experts, whether it's in the field of mathematics or in English language arts or in social studies, you know, or in the arts in general, or PE? What do we want young people to get from being together with us in schools? And we've been on autopilot, maybe even asleep at the wheel, you know, for several decades at least, at what was important to learn in school. And we are living in changed times. And so we're long overdue for doing that kind of inventory on, you know, what is it we want to measure? What is it we value in our communities? And learning loss, I mean, Tim, we've done show after show on this, right? And Alfie reminds me of this, you know, is that learning loss is a whole discourse. It's a whole label to put blame on kids and teachers and schools. I'm not saying that every school is perfect out there, that every kid is, you know, perfect. Although, like, I do think, you know, kids come to us pretty, you know, pretty much not responsible. Like, we're responsible for them. We don't blame them for where they're at with things. But in general, it's a move to blame teachers, to blame parents, to blame students. When, you know, Alfie gives us a generative kind of nudge. Why don't we take a look at what we're assessing? Why don't we take a look at how we're teaching and what we're teaching, and create a priority list, right? Okay. Because if we get that list going, and we work together for those kinds of assessments, you know, we're going to see something different than the kinds of metrics that are popping up when we enter that world that's now labeled learning loss. You know, it really highlights certain knowledges, like you had mentioned here and Alfie talked about in the first half of the show. You know, it emphasizes memorizing stuff that probably, you know, doesn't really matter in the context of surface level knowledge. But that is probably relatively important when we get into why are we learning these things, and what are they giving us in terms of skills that we carry with us into our lives as community members? Boom. Now we go from there.
But what you just said is that, you know, as these skills translate into, you know, responsible, ethical citizens, community members, neighbors, you know, family members, if we're really concerned about that as the outcome, then looking at standardized test score drops, even if we show indications that there is a drop, there's no real indication in that type of an assessment that really anything important. We have no ability to understand whether or not a child is going to be a responsible citizen and go out and work for the betterment of their community. In fact, I think I'm even hearing Alfie say that if we're only concerned about remembering information, there's a pretty good chance that we have an education system that isn't actively educating for citizenship. You know, and I think about that, and you know, in the first part there, I had mentioned quickly with Alfie the article that showed up in the Washington Post 2 weeks ago by James Harvey, one of the original people who were there at the writing of A Nation at Risk, 1983, 40 years ago, and where we are today, that we are absolutely concerned, you know, pearl clutching around people remembering. Boy, I look back and I think, you know, about that piece that I read from James Harvey, and it says, you know, even at the fact that A Nation at Risk was built on a false premise of people actually remembering and or not remembering, the reality of A Nation at Risk has turned public schools into remembering factories. If you were part of that remembering factory, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I mean, I think about that type of an effect, and, you know, all of the conversations we've had about good teachers, you know, what we should be doing, citizenship, democracy. When we put it up against the fact that actually we have a school system that, you know, 40 years ago was turned into a system that is about remembering pretty much useless information, are we surprised about the potential of citizenship maybe slightly being a little bit hard to assess, not really sure what's going on out there, but that the focus of schooling has been away from community standards and really focused on this very narrow sense of academic achievement? And really, academic achievement, for my neighbor who's listening, it's really not about academic smarts and intelligence. It's really about saying, how much do you remember? I said, I put it out for anybody who wants to call in, 844-967-2789. If you had a great teacher, was it because they made you remember? Or is it because they made you think and then you held on to that? And the memory of learning is not a memory of the facts that they taught you, but a memory of that experience that they put you in. Johnny, I think that's what we're trying to talk about, right?
I mean, yeah, it is. And I'm gonna just push at this a little bit though, Tim, because I think what we know too is that sometimes you got to remember some things.
Okay.
You know, and so there is a place for, you know, for a lot of the kinds of things we learned and memorized. But what I think we're emphasizing here is that good learning and good teaching doesn't stop at the memorization. Right. It isn't only about that. It's utilizing, you know, putting our brains to work, our capacity to remember things on call, whether that be with assistance from notes or different things. But it's really about putting it to use. Mm. And sometimes it's helpful to memorize. I mean, I'm going to think about like sight words and our early learners. These are important things where we begin to teach young people that reading isn't always about sounding everything out. You also sound things out, but some stuff you just see it, you recognize it, and you run with it. Does that work for every single kid? No. Does that mean kids that don't memorize all their sight words are doomed? No. It just means that there are different skill sets for everyone to put their mind to work in ways that apply those skills in everyday life. You know, multiplication, addition, we can break it down and know how to do it conceptually, but also, you know, it helps to kind of memorize your times tables a little bit. So there's like a place for both. But if we only focus on the memorization and we only test and assess in ways that reward memorization or surface level learning disproportionately to application, oh boy, are we doomed. And I think that's where we kind of meet on things, Tim, too. And we're saying like, well, we've done that. The latter is where we've kind of gone down that road. And if you've memorized a bunch of stuff and you pull it up well on the bubble tests, then you are moving up the ladder.
Right.
But here's the spoiler alert. The ladder doesn't lead to anywhere. Okay.
Wait a minute. All these people who do well on these tests, Johnny, come on. You just told them that ladder doesn't go anywhere.
No. I mean, at some point, you have to apply.
Okay.
Okay. You have to be able to apply it. So I'm not saying everyone who goes up that ladder, you know, gets to the top and just kind of bloop, like a lemming falls off. But every single learner at some point in real life, like outside of school, has to apply what they've learned, okay, to go to whatever that next level is. We'll say like to grow up, to be an adult, to be, you know, contributing member of a democratic society. You have to put it to practice. And the more time we spend in schools, both learning and practicing what we learn in real life scenarios, the better we're all going to be at it. And so now looking at these 40 years, the trend was learn more. And what did it rob? It robbed learn to apply it. We just kept pulling from application and into learning. So we jam packed kids' brains full of stuff that they don't know what to do with.
Well, we've jammed it. We've tried to jam it packed, and we keep, though, getting upset when we use tests, right? Because somebody always comes back and says, darn it, Johnny Lupinacci, your students don't remember. Your students don't remember. Public schools are failures at producing memory. I don't want to say our public schools are failures at producing memories, but public schools are failing. And we know this because every time we give some form of a round of standardized testing that is, again, based on a very big faulty logic, a nation at risk, this idea of pushing facts as the only things that matter, it's a problem. 844-967-2789. The number is 844-967-2789. You know what? Memories, though, Johnny, you know, remembering, though, as you just said, you know, when the absolute, pinnacle achievement that we believe is some form of remembering, and then we continually hear that people don't remember, I think that's one of the ways that we might be able to start breaking through to start saying, okay, how do we have a system? Because you are right, and I am not making a claim that the facts and things like that that you need to remember are useless. The reality is, though, is if we want people to use remember to have a sense that these things are important, then what you just said is that application, using the application in the performance part, right? You know, doing something, remembering matters when you go to use it.
That's right. And Tim, I know we got to take a break, but when we come back, man, I got a story about pizzas and TVs.
Okay, pizzas and TVs. I love that. Pizzas, TVs, a nation at risk.
Assessment,
we just had a great guest. Assessment and remembering. Alfie Cohn. It's Busted Pencils. It's Tuesday night, 844-967-2789. More when we get back.
That's the vision at Holtebeck Eye Center. At Holtebeck Eye Center, they provide the most professional and compassionate care in the industry, from your first call to follow-up after treatment. If you've been dreaming of seeing clearly again, Dr. Holtebeck can restore your vision with expert care and attention to issues like cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetes complications. You'll not only see better, but feel better too. Don't wait any longer. Improve your eyesight. Visit Holtebeck.com. That's HOLTEBECK.com.
Feeling down, anxious, depressed? You are not alone. According to the World Health Organization, approximately 280 million people have depression, but the majority never receive treatment. At WellPoint Care Network, they can help. Their outpatient clinic staff are both qualified and caring, not to mention highly trained in partnering with you on your healing journey. Make an appointment today at wellpointcare.org. They serve all ages, infants, children, and adults. Both in-person and virtual services are available. Learn more at wellpointcare.org.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
High temperatures reach up to 58 today under overcast skies with a chance for scattered showers. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 39 tonight, partly cloudy. High of 71, tomorrow mainly sunny. Mid-70s Tuesday with a chance for scattered showers. Low 60s, bright sunshine Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 50.
What if I'm writing you a wrong? What if you knew it all along? What if I figured out that I did not belong?
Would be absolutely wrong if you decided to leave Busted Pencils Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 844-967-2789. Breaking down the first half of the show, Alfie Cohn, our guest, talking about, hey, remembering stuff. Guess what? We don't remember a lot of stuff. Johnny, though, you were talking about something with pizza.
Yeah, before, man, I'm remembering.
Before the break. Okay, remember out loud for us, man.
Remembering about pizzas and TV. So I got a story for you, Tim, when you talk about assessment, right? And when we talk about, I was saying we jam-packed kids' brains full of facts, right? Like we've really upped the ante. And that's what this assessment plan has been about, is every couple of years seeing where we're at as a nation. What are the scores, right? Mm-hmm. And we are talking about things like learning loss, or I would say like media in general, or experts are labeling this moment as learning loss, because what they've done is followed a line, and that line was increasing and increasing because as a nation, what we said is we got to do more. We can do more. We can pack kids' brains full of more. And what I had said before is we borrowed from application and we took away from spending time together, applying what we were learning in ways that would translate to real life skills. Right. And that's a really valuable piece. You can pack your brain full of knowledge. We called it back in the day where we'd call it, right, being book smart. You can be book smart, but if you're not street smart, what are you? Right. You're and dumb. So there's a balance between these two things. So but what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell a story about pizzas and TVs, Tim, because it helps break down why this is so absurd. All right. I used to manage at a pizza place. I won't name the pizza place. I love that pizza place a lot. It's a Detroit favorite, and it's all around the country, so you can get one hot and ready whenever you want. But and I loved making pizzas, right? And so in the pizza industry, you know, which is a business, right, they want you to sell more pizzas. So they do all kinds of advertising, do all kinds of things to get you to sell more pizzas. Well, as a manager of a pizza restaurant, you can make more money if you make quota, right? If you sell a certain number of projections for what they want you to sell at your shop in terms of pizzas, right? So it's good, sort of good business 101. Let's set some goals and let's reach those goals. When you reach them, sometimes you get a bonus, right? So you work real hard and you do all kinds of extra things because you're like, you know what? I want that bonus. And you know what? It'd be great to reach our sales goals and we're going to sell more pizzas. And we do what we can. We get people outside spinning signs. We get all kinds of, you know, marketing and ads and all kinds of customer service. Everyone's chipping in. And, you know, the salaried folks, the non-hourly, and some of the hourly too, but especially the salary folks are like, you know what? I'm going to do extra because reaching those sales goals is going to help our business. It's going to help us get there. And so we work as hard as we can to sell as many pizzas as we can,
We're making lots of pizzas. We're selling lots of pizzas. And you know what? We do it. And we throw a big party. And we're super excited because you know what? We sold more pizzas than ever. We reached our goal. You know what comes after that, Tim? A higher goal. Well, then I get my new projections and I'm supposed to sell more pizzas. I'm like, oh my God, Tim, we're going to do this. Okay, rally the troops. We can do it. You know what comes after we reach that goal? A higher goal. You know what happens at a certain point? We can't possibly make or sell more pizzas. And you know what happens then?
You're a failure.
Yeah. And same thing. TVs, same business. I have a really close friend at the same time as I was, you know, making and selling pizzas. They were selling TVs. Same plan. All right. At a place where you could find a really good buy. All right. And so what would happen is they would sell awesome TVs and they would say, you know what? We're going to sell a bunch of TVs. And I think folks listening probably get the gist of it. Yeah. They bent over backwards and sold a whole lot of TVs. Came back with the next quarter's projections. Higher, sell more TVs. Hold on a minute, though, Tim. At least pizza people eat it and want more. A TV? I mean, what do you got to do? You just got a new TV. Everyone's not buying a new TV. So here we go with the absurdity of sort of capitalism 101 or, you know, business projections and the business model. It doesn't map on to education. I'm not here to critique it in the business world. If that's what we want to do with selling pizzas and TVs, great, right? We'll do that. But in learning, it doesn't work. And that's where we're at. We're looking at a thing called learning loss because we've jacked up the numbers higher than the people. If we look at the people writing articles on learning loss, scored lower than the students that are taking these tests now when they were that age.
That's it. I mean, and that's it. Talking about bring it all the way back to that is that quote, when we, you know, measure learning loss, you know, and what we heard over the pandemic and over the NAEP scores now, too, is that, you know, over 4 years, over 2 years, there was a drop. The reality, though, too, is that, first of all, even if you want to use those gauges, you got to look 20, 30 years and you'll see largely there's some form of a growth up. It's just a projection in time. But Johnny, you made me think, though, about the pizza thing and the fact of going, you know, you could do better. There were things that they would do to potentially help you to do better. And now I think, though, about learning, and the reality is that we still continue to allow children to live at home in poverty, rural poverty, suburban poverty, urban poverty, Maslow's hierarchy, food, safety, medical conditions. We don't care about those things. We don't. And so if I say to a teacher, I want you to increase remembering, and then when I say I want you to increase remembering, I then say, but I'm not going to do anything on my side as a policymaker other than make a rule that says I want you to increase remembering on the kids, that I refuse to create policies that would give them the food that they need, the shelter that they need, the healthcare that they need, that maybe even we could, quote, bump up the scores, because now at least we're going to be working with healthy, you know, children, right? And so we're thinking about that. This is getting really late on the time here, but it's just one of those perplexing issues to me that comes across, that even if we do want the goal to be remembering, we refuse as a nation to look at the state of the conditions in which our kids and our families live, the outside of school factors, the realities that are happening in the streets, street smart, and that could be farm smart, street smart, whatever, mountain smart, all of those issues, those are significant issues. And so when we get there, again, let's break it down, busted pencils, fully leaded. See you next week.
Yes.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
If you love to spend time in the kitchen, elevate your cooking game with a pantry full of premium hemp products from Mary Jane's Hemp Shop in Waukesha. Mary Jane sells flights of Himalayan sea salt, raw sugar flights, local raw honey, and just in time for summer, a variety of salt rubs for meat and grilling. Not sure how to use the products in your own kitchen? Check out Mary Jane's YouTube channel for ideas and recipes. Elevate your cooking game at Mary Jane's Hemp Shop, 335 West Main Street, Waukesha, or online at maryjanespantry.shop.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the story of a very special